Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. We are a weekly podcast where we pick a topic, a film topic, and then we list our top five films that are apropos to that topic.
Good word.
Would that be?
Apropos would be apropos. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
That's double apropensity.
Yeah. So today's topic is football movies. And it's because if you're listening to this, you should be listening to it the Tuesday after the Super Bowl. So if the Giants won, you're either happy. If they lost, you're probably sad. So
we can do two versions, and we can just edit afterwards.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Go Patriots. Yeah. And 1, 2, 3, 4. Go Giants.
Yeah.
Whoever won. So those commercials were awesome.
Well, that Ferris Bueller commercial, that sure was funny. I haven't seen
you're
it.
Doing another Ferris Bueller commercial?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he did one for Honda CRV.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this week's topic, football movies. Did anybody have a hard time with it?
Yes.
I had a really hard time. We should have done sports movies, but I don't want to blow all our movies in this one because we got the World Series coming up later on in the year. And then we have...
the World Cup at some point.
World Cup.
NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Wimbledon.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many different options we can go with this.
Favorite tennis movies.
Olympics in general.
Favorite Olympic Cool Runnings will be on there.
Yes.
Favorite bobsledding movies.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the sailing movies. That's the one that I'm really looking for.
Ooh. White Wall.
White Wall. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the spoiler.
Dead Calm.
Yes.
So this week's topic, again, football movies. But first of all, we'll start off with anything you guys have seen throughout the week since last episode. Anything new?
So you and Jenny both already saw The Gray.
So did Kevin.
And Kevin.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. You also? Okay. Well, I caught up and I saw The Gray.
What'd you think?
It was different.
It is. Right? It's different.
It's very, very weird. Like Joe Carnahan directs a Jack London novel. Very, very, very strange. And like there were moments that I did really like, and then some things I just kind of thought were silly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
And like Savannah doesn't believe me that they, because you, I think last week you said that they used real wolves, but then they overlaid digitally enhanced wolves.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, well,
we didn't see that. It looks like cartoons to me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't look real at all.
Well, I know for the shots, the wide shots, they used real wolves, and then they used, what are they called? Animatronics.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And then they enhanced the animatronics with digital effects.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed it. The voiceover kind of reminded me of a little bit of a Terrence Malick type like poem.
It felt like two different movies put together, and I enjoyed parts of it. I mean, Liam Neeson's awesome.
Yeah.
Some of the photography and the cold with the wind is crazy. Yeah.
And none of that. There's no wind machine. It's just nature. Providing special effects.
What made me like The Gray more was the next day when I went and I saw Man on a Ledge.
How was that?
Yeah.
That was something.
Yeah?
It was something. So I was in the Dome on a Sunday and it was empty. If that says anything about...
Oh my goodness.
Wow. This movie you saw... Yeah. I think I saw you tweeting about it or something.
Yes. Yeah.
I really enjoyed The Gray, and but I'm a Joe Carnahan fanboy, so I enjoy everything he does.
I love Narc.
Yeah, Narc. We saw a double feature of The Gray and Narc, which was really,
really
great.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like all the character actors in The Gray, like Frank Grillo, Dallas Roberts,
Joe Anderson.
Yeah, Dermot Mulroney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Everybody was great. Everybody, I thought, the acting was like top notch.
Yeah, I think that's
what
makes
saved
that
it.
Movie.
And really, and really, that's what really sells it. Because some stuff's I could see how some of the wolf stuff is kind of hokey, but for the fact that their acting is so great is that what makes it
right.
What sells
that
movie.
Yeah, if it were a lesser movie, I would have kind of just checked out once I saw the green laser pointers show up and stare at them.
Oh yeah, that part that was pretty bad.
Okay. The acting keeps me there.
Did you stay after the credits?
No, there's something after the credits.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Spoiler. I thought we didn't say that in the last podcast.
We didn't.
Should say it now. Posted, stay after the credits.
I posted it on my Facebook, but not my Twitter. So.
It's just like a split second, but it's kind of important, I guess, for the ending.
Yeah. It ties up the ending.
Man.
Looks like you're going to have to see it again.
Seriously. And I already used my movie pass on it.
Well, just sneak in. Just see the end. You paid for it already, you know what I mean?
Or movie pass. Yeah, it's like, I missed this. I'll go see Albert Nobbs and then sneak in for the end of The Grey.
Yeah. There you go.
Did we see anything? We saw...
My
Week with Marilyn, that's right. Which you guys saw already.
Yep.
Yeah.
The story was not there, but I mean, she was good. I don't think she was best actress by any means, but she did play Marilyn really well. Mm-hmm. That's true.
And everyone was great. All the actors were great. The kid playing the kid who falls in love.
Eddie Redmayne. Yeah.
He was good. I mean, Judi Dench is always.
Yeah.
I always enjoy when she does like stuff with a little bit of humor and stuff.
Yeah.
It makes me happy for some reason. Judi Dench doing humor. I want to see her do it like a Judd Apatow movie.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. And it was great. It was good. It just wasn't like award winning good. It was entertaining. I wasn't dozing off or anything. Usually sometimes I'm like.
I think I liked it more than my cohort over at Shooting the Script did. Brian didn't enjoy it very much. I was entertained. But I mean, I like The Prince and the Showgirl, the original movie that they're talking about. The making of in the movie. So I have a little bit more background than he did. He just kind of came into it like, oh, it's Michelle Williams playing Marilyn Monroe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not the greatest movie, but entertaining.
Yeah. 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 And it's like you said, very entertaining. And for any of these reviews, we don't do reviews. We just kind of do like a how much would you pay to see the movie? Which, by the way, how much would you pay to see The Grey?
I'd pay like a matinee price.
Matinee price.
Like eight?
$8. Yeah. $7. Yeah. And then what else?
The same time though, sorry to go back on this, but it's January, so I think standards for movies are very low.
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah.
So that being said, for a January movie, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man on a Ledge, however, was exactly a January movie.
How much would you pay to see that?
I want my money back.
Okay.
And I didn't pay to see it. So there's that. Thank you, MoviePass, for making me not have to actually give my money to the producers of Man on a Ledge. And I feel bad because it's got all these great actors in it. Like, the cast for that movie is great. I'm still iffy on Sam Worthington, but like Elizabeth Banks,
Jamie Bell,
Ed Burns, Jamie Bell, Ed Harris. Got all these great people in this movie. It's just like they're stuck in this shitty movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have zero, like, want to see that movie at all. Like, 0%.
Yeah, me too. I'll wait for, I'll wait for Cable, not even Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll wait for someone else to buy it and then I'll watch it.
Well, Netflix, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
We don't really review movies. That's kind of our review. Hey, how much you paid to see it? But for reviews, if you are looking to hear more in-depth reviews, head over to
shootingthescript.wordpress.com.
I always get it wrong.
Eventually, we're just going to be shootingthescript.com. I think this year we're gonna lose the WordPress.
You're gonna fork out the $20.
Yeah, we're just gonna be shootingthescript.com. Yeah. But right now, it's shootingthescript.wordpress.com.
Yeah, head over there and you'll see Adam Scott's reviews and Brian Perrell's.
Some other people. We've got some other contributors who pop up every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. So head over there for in-depth reviews. And then I thought we'd do a little movie news. I thought that we should add that to the episode.
Movie news?
Yeah. Maybe the listeners could tell us if they enjoy the movie news or we should do it without it. But for today, just some quick movie news. I'll just read it off and then we'll go. One of the things that was in the news is that Joe Carnahan is remaking Death Wish. Those of you who don't know what Death Wish is, it's 1979? 80, maybe?
79 or 80.
79 or 80, movie by Charles Bronson, where he plays a man who comes home, discovers his wife and daughter have been murdered by Jeff Goldblum.
74.
Oh, wow, where were we off?
And they're not, he doesn't, they haven't been murdered yet, they've been raped. They haven't.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But it is Jeff Goldblum.
He is. He's. Yeah. It's like
being creepy.
Yeah,
that was like his first starring role.
Pseudo uncredited. Like I think he's in the credits, but it's just not like he's not. He's not the main bad guy or anything.
Oh
he's
no.
Just
yeah.
Random hood number three.
Yeah, but it's kind of creepy. It's kind of like seeing Sam Rockwell in Ninja Turtles. You're like, well, I know this guy.
He's in Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Yes, he's a hooligan.
Oh yeah.
He's like the lead hooligan in Shredder's gang.
Oh my gosh, I gotta go watch that again.
Yeah, he's selling cigarettes to kids. Yeah.
Oh geez.
Regular or menthol. Yeah.
And what else? So that's it. So Joe Carnahan's taking over. Any thoughts on that?
That's all. We just have director. We don't have any.
Yeah, he's writing it. He's writing it as well. So. Okay. That's basically one of the stories. And then anything else? Any news you guys have heard? Just breezing by.
Well, I mean,
I know Matthew Vaughn's back for the new X-Men first class sequel.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy the first one, so I don't.
It was all right.
Yeah.
I think Michael Fassbender is what kind of sold it for me. Him and James McAvoy.
Yeah.
They were really good.
Is the rest of the group going to be in the new one? Or is it supposed to be like later on?
It's going to be, I think it's, everybody's going to be in it. I think everybody's got contract. Everybody's contractually obligated to come back.
Okay.
So
it's like no one gets to sign on for one movie anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh no. Unless it's, I forgot what movie I was talking about. I was listening to them talk about an interview how they didn't have contracts, so now that they're doing a sequel, they're screwed. Oh, The Hangover. The Hangover did not have a sequel contract.
Okay.
So they negotiated a lot of money for the second one, and now they're negotiating $15 million each for part three.
Already then.
Wow.
Hey, if it's going to suck, might as well get paid a lot for it.
So. Yeah, that's true.
Wait, but going back to Death Wish, I'm sorry for whoever has to fill Charles Bronson's shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, say what you will about his acting, he was a presence that's really kind of hard to replicate.
Yeah. I mean, he's terrifying at times in that movie just because of how intense he is.
I think
the scene where he puts the quarters in the sock and just whips that shit around.
Oh, yeah. I think what best describes, like, Charles Bronson and, like, Steve McQueen is, like, they're like a man's man. You know what I mean? Like they're like like men. Where now even your leading men are kind of like Michael Fassbender. Like yeah, he's your leading man, but he's kind of like
he could be a model too.
Yeah, he's not. You know, I don't see him changing the oil in his car. You know, doing manly things. He would never be caught doing that. Where Charles Bronson, I could see him having an old car just working on it. I don't know.
Going out back and chopping down a tree.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Charlie Bronsons or Steve McQueen's or Telly Savalas's around these things.
Harry Dean Stanton's.
Harry Dean Stanton. What, Lee Marvin? We need a Lee Marvin.
Yeah.
Yes. We don't have a Lee Marvin. Anyway, so.
Basically, I want to see a remake of The Dirty Dozen. Basically. And who would you cast in that movie?
Yeah.
No one who's really acting today.
Yeah. So that's it for our movie news for today. And next week, we'll try to have more. Unless you don't like it, then let us know. And we will cut that out. Maybe. All right, to the list.
Stream of the week.
Stream of the week. I almost forgot about that. You're right. Who has that?
I'll put it out there.
Put it out there.
Do it.
Tucker and Dale vs. Evil is now on Netflix, and everyone should check it out because it's fantastic
give
and
a
hilarious.
Give a little synopsis.
So there's Tucker and Dale. They're two rednecks.
And played by Alan Tudyk from Serenity. And
Tyler Labine.
Tyler Labine, that's right.
Reaper and...
Yeah, Sons of
Random X-Files
Tucson.
Episodes.
Sons of Tucson, yeah. A bunch of,
And they are two rednecks that want to take a trip to redo their house or the cabin in the woods. And this group of teenagers thinks that they're killers and trouble ensues.
Yeah, it's like
it's a Shaun of the Dead movie turned on its ear.
Yeah.
A parody.
Yeah, like Shaun of the Dead meets
Deliverance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
really
best,
funny.
Best sums it up, yeah. So check that out. It's on Netflix streaming. Netflix, we wouldn't mind you sponsoring us. We wouldn't turn you guys down. Or MoviePass.
MoviePass.
MoviePass. We love you.
MoviePass.
One of these days, we're gonna have to write letters to both to just everyone. Just blatant letter.
All right. What else? What else? That's it for streaming and news.
I think it's time for the list.
Let's go into the list today. Kevin's going first. So Kevin, and those for the new listeners. It's four hosts. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
So we'll start with Kevin today.
Okay. So my number five was pretty much put at number five because there's definitely aspects of it being a football movie and there's the big game at the end, but it's not like all throughout the movie.
Is it a soccer movie, dude? Because it doesn't count.
Oh, wait. Every single one of my films,
football,
though.
Football, not football.
I've got goal 1, 2, and 3, though, on my list.
Oh, bend it like Beckham.
Yeah. it comes from 1925, and it's The Freshman, starring Harold Lloyd. This is just a nice, sweet, it's a happy, very, it puts a smile on your face. I mean, the jokes that Lloyd does throughout the film are great. And it's not laugh out loud, but you're giggling and you're smiling throughout the entire movie and you're just enjoying yourself. The basic plot is a nerdy college student will do anything to become popular on campus. He goes about watching this movie where this kid becomes very popular on college campus, and he does this little jig before he meets everybody. So he copies the jig, and every time he introduces himself to somebody, he does this it takes a little while to do the jig, and he does the jig, and then he puts his hand out to shake their hand and introduce himself. And he does this, at one point, he's got a circle of people around him that he's meeting, and every single person, he does this jig, and then he moves to the next person, does the jig. And he just, it's great. It just has some just great jokes in it. And like I said, I mean, for a silent movie that's, over 75 years old now, you can still laugh at the jokes and they're still very funny. And it's got good humor too and good heart.
And this is, I haven't seen Artist, but I assume.
It's, yeah, no.
This is a real.
This is good stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but I.
Now, mind you, I didn't, I enjoyed The Artist, but this is quality right here.
Yeah, yeah. And what's his name? Harold Lloyd, one of the guys, one of the silent film guys that kind of gets, he's like the third banana when it comes to like Chaplin. Well, for me, it's Buster Keaton, then Chaplin,
yeah,
then Harold Lloyd. But sometimes there's some Harold Lloyd movies that I put, you know, I move him up in front of Chaplin because there's like two movies that I'm like, I like them better than some of Chaplin stuff.
I mean, he definitely does some great stuff with like Safety Last and The Freshman. And I just love his presence and the facial expressions that he has. And I love the character that he plays. And the end of this movie is just, it's such a great image. And he just sells it so well that it's just awesome. And it's nice and short and sweet. It's like an hour and like 13 minutes. I would just definitely say if you just want to have an enjoyable time, just go out and watch The Freshman. I guarantee you'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
I will have to check it out. I have not seen this.
Have you seen any Harold Lloyd before?
You know, I'm not as familiar with Harold Lloyd as I am with Buster Keaton or Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
I need to see more of his stuff.
Yeah.
He's good. He definitely, he likes to go, he goes the stunt route sometimes, and it's he actually puts you on the edge of your seat.
Right. I've seen the iconic scenes, like the clock scene and whatnot. And just the thing is, even seeing just bits and pieces of his movies, I'm like, just these sections are better than The Artist to me. So, because I mentioned him in my review of The Artist.
Okay.
How I thought just the stuff I've seen of him is better than that movie.
Yeah. I enjoy Mr. Harold Lloyd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, my turn?
Yeah.
All right. So my number five is 1991's The Last Boy Scout.
You son of a bitch.
Nice.
I should have gone first. Damn.
Well, I feel bad because I was like,
it's my number five. So
okay, well, so yeah, we're right there. Mm-hmm. I was like, do I even put it on? Because I mean, football, yes, but I mean, it's Shane Black, and it's barely about football. But football, I mean,
there's
basically the reason this movie is on this list is the opening football game, where the guy pulls out a gun while he's running down. He's like, you got to make this touchdown, and he pulls out a gun and he starts shooting the other blockers.
It's my number four. Sorry.
Okay.
So, but I'll still talk about it. I just wanted to clarify my number four.
Okay.
It's again, did you read the synopsis already?
I didn't read the synopsis.
Read it out.
So a down and out cynical detective teams up with a down and out ex quarterback to try and solve a murder.
Yeah. And the stars are Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans.
Yes. Damon Wayans as a down on his luck quarterback.
Yeah.
It makes sense kind of, but then at the same time I was like, it was just so weird to me because he's Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
I think of Homie the Clown. Yeah. Or
yeah, and this was like right really close to that In Living Color years.
Yeah,
91.
Year. Yeah. And doesn't Halle Berry come in this as well? I think she does, right?
Yeah.
She plays
yeah.
his She's ex-wife?
Maybe? His girlfriend.
Girlfriend, yeah. This is a fun movie. It's a Tony Scott film, early Tony Scott. So it's, you know, action-packed.
And you got crazy editing going on. Lots of crazy stuff with lights.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, Shane Black's writing it.
That's right. Shane Black, for those of you who don't know, Lethal Weapon, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and he's also an actor. He's done a couple acting stuff. He was in Predator.
Predator. Yeah. Oh,
okay. He was more of a spy than he was an actor in that movie. It's a really entertaining movie, The Last Boy Scout. It's really fun, especially the end when he's on the horse and he's playing football. No, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's a really fun, really over the top action scene that works. I think it's a fun movie. I like the interrogation scene when they're interrogating him. by the pool.
Oh, when
Bruce Willis.
Oh, what's his name?
That Kim character.
Coates.
Yes.
Kim
yes.
Coates. I love Kim Coates.
Yes.
When he's like offering him a cigarette and hitting him every time he gets to light it. Such a great scene. There's a lot of people like Danielle Harris is in this.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Isn't Kim Delaney in this as well? Doesn't she play his ex-wife? Or somebody.
Chelsea Field.
Okay.
His ex-wife. But lots of people who you know their faces when you see them pop up in this movie.
Yeah.
And this Shane Black's crazy writing.
Yeah. And early Bruce Willis. So this was right after, I think, Die Hard, wasn't it?
I don't know about early Bruce Willis. This is like middle Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Because this is 91. So this is like...
He had a couple action movies like, under his belt already.
What, maybe pre-Color of Night, post Die Hard 2?
Yeah. I like how that's a marker now. Pre-Color of Night. Pre-really hardcore sex scene. No, it's a fun movie. Tony Scott. If you love Tony Scott, you'll enjoy this.
And if you love Shane Black.
Shane Black as well.
You'll be...
Yeah. Yes, that's my number four as well. Adam's number five, my number four. Jenny?
My turn?
Yeah.
My number nothing. Okay, so I just want to preface this by saying I realized while doing my research for this that I apparently do not like football movies. And I don't know how I didn't know that because I love football. I love watching football and I'm a huge football fan. But so this is more of a list of my least...
Hated.
Okay. Movies. Yeah.
Maybe you just haven't seen that many football movies.
I think that could have been it. Yeah.
Have you seen The Last Boy Scout?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
So that might have been on my list.
Yeah, you might have been on your list, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I'm sorry. Another favorite part of The Last Boy Scout is the...
The poster, first of all.
Well, yes, the poster. But no, the Hank Williams Jr. like song that they have at the beginning. Friday night's a great night for football, which is just funny now.
I don't know if you may know this, but... Do they use actual NFL teams, or did they do that thing where it's like...
They use fake teams.
Okay. I hate when they do that. Like, it's like, NFL, don't be a bitch, and just license it. Don't be a jerk. It's publicity for you guys. But anyway, I hate that.
Me too.
Yeah, because it's like the LA, the LA Knights, I think.
Yeah, and they don't say the NFL. They have to, like, jumble up words to make up... It's like, we know it's... It just takes you out of the movie, for me. It takes me out when it's like the San Jose Sharks.
I can
like,
suspend my disbelief.
All right.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's fine. I completely understand.
Go ahead.
Okay. So my number five is Little Giants.
Oh, that's my number four.
Really?
Yeah.
I really didn't think this was going to be on anyone's list.
This would be an honorable mention.
This is it's a childhood favorite of mine. I love this movie. I rewatched it when I decided to put it on my list, and it still has just some great, enjoyable moments and some. All the different characters of the kids are great.
Yes. I love a good kids movie where I'm not creeped out by them.
Yes.
Let's be honest. So,
kids.
Yes. I love kids sport movies and I love Little Giants. Everyone in it is great. Like, still looking back and being like, oh my God, that's Devin Sawa and like all those kids when they're younger. You're like, wow.
Who is it? Icebox? Is that
Icebox?
Who plays Icebox?
She is the American president's daughter.
Oh, okay.
Shauna Waldron.
Already, then.
I thought it was Chelsea Clinton. I was like, Chelsea Clinton?
Yeah.
I went all Chris Tucker on that one. I enjoy this. Ed O'Neill and Rick Moranis kind of.
Yeah, I mean, the character that Ed O'Neill plays and just that he's constantly chewing gum and just brash and an a-hole at times, but then he has that little sweet moment with his niece, even though he's just doing it for his own benefit.
Basically, Ed O'Neill in anything.
Yeah, like, he's awesome.
Ed O'Neill, another man's man, I think. I think he's the last of the group that's
he's
still
a different
alive.
Kind of man's
man.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rick Moranis being the guy who
The nerdy dad
The nerdy
coach.
Guy who is gonna, he's gonna lead the team to the big win.
Yeah,
wait, so this is on both of your lists?
Yeah, it's my number four.
Okay.
That inspirational talk that he has with them in the locker room.
Yeah.
Where they're all like, yeah, we'll be that one out of the 100 or something like that. It was like so sad. But
that
still,
one time.
Like, yeah. We'll lose 99 times, but there's still that one time or whatever like that. You're like, Jesus, that's so terrible. But so, yeah, all right.
It's been a while since I've seen this movie, but I do remember watching it a lot as a kid. I'm like, what they put the Alka-Seltzer in their mouth.
Yes.
Intimidation.
They look like their mouth is foaming.
Yeah, that one nerdy kid is hilarious. He like ducks down into his suit that one time.
Yes, the kid whose mother wraps him in like foam to keep him protected.
Yeah.
And then he turtles out? Doesn't he go into his shoulder pads?
The crazy like kid who shouldn't be the same age as everybody else. house and ripped, who can carry a refrigerator, says, I'm going to take your head off. So he gets down, and it's just his helmet sitting on top of his pads.
That kid creeped me out. He was like the child version of Dolph Lundgren.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Drago from Rocky IV. He's just going to kill the kid. It's like, I would break you.
This was him at 2 years old. Yeah. Just like talking and beating people up. No, it's a really fun movie.
Yeah.
That is your number five?
Yep, 1994.
And my number four?
Your number four. Well, my number five, again, like Adams, it's not, I guess it's a football movie. It centers around football. The whole movie is about the Super Bowl. And the movie I'm talking about is 1977's Black Sunday.
Oh, see, I didn't even think of
it. Yeah, I didn't think about
did
that.
Did not even think about having Black Sunday, but I love Black Sunday.
I love it. First of all, it's John Frankenheimer. Well, just enough said. But then you have Robert Shaw as, I'll read the synopsis. Black Sunday is, the plot is, an Israeli anti-terrorist agent must stop a disgruntled Vietnam vet cooperating with a terrorist plot to be committed during the Super Bowl. So basically, it's the days leading up to the Super Bowl. And Bruce Dern, he plays the disgruntled Vietnam vet who is the Goodyear blimp pilot. And he's the guy who is behind the terrorist plot. He's working with some sort of terrorist cell. And then Robert Shaw is the Mossad agent.
Yeah, Mossad. Right? Yeah, and he's like Bruce Dern's trying to work with Black September, who were behind the 1977 Olympic, or whatever year, the 72 Summer Olympics.
That's right.
The whole Munich thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Goodyear blimp flying into the Super Bowl is basically the icon. I remember the trailer for this, and it's got that awesome, I can't remember, who, like the iconic trailer guy. Black Sunday. And he's talking about, you just see the image of the blimp flying into the stadium, and it's crazy.
So, if you're a fan of either Bruce Dern, John Frankenheimer, or Robert Shaw, you'll enjoy this movie. It's kind of like a mystery that turns into like an action movie at times. So check it out. That's my number five from 1977.
Nice. Well, my number four was Little Giants.
Oh, yeah.
So you lose a turn, sir.
I do.
Adam?
Okay, I lost my page. All right, so my number four is from 1974, and that's the original The Longest Yard.
Okay. Mm. Burt Reynolds.
Yes. Burt Reynolds, yes. I haven't seen the remake. I don't really have anything to say.
It's okay. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. It's one of those ones where you're like, it's not Little Nicky.
Okay.
But it's not his best. It's not
not Little Nicky, not Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, I had nothing to say about it either way, but I love the original Longest Yard because it's got this whole that 70s football player vibe.
Yeah.
And then Burt Reynolds playing this disgraced ex-football player. So basically, he's a famous quarterback who threw the game to, he's like the Pete Rose of football.
Yeah.
Threw the game, so he's been disgraced, and he ends up being thrown in prison, and the warden tells him that he wants him to put together a team to play against the guards and lose.
Yeah, and because the guards are going to play a different prison.
Right.
And it's like just to kind of like get their morale.
I don't remember the term that he uses, but it's a shit game so that they feel better about themselves so they kick the next team's ass.
Yeah.
I don't know what the new version is like, but this one's just so much fun and it's very much like Cool Hand Luke meets football.
Yeah.
It's just that ragtag group that you just hope wins, like the underdog. And Burt Reynolds, I love Burt Reynolds.
Is I do too.
Not yeah, like he's Burt awesome. Reynolds.
Yeah,
he's just, and it's that 70s, like he's got the laugh, and he and he's even got a car chase in this one.
Yeah, that's how he goes to jail, doesn't he?
Yeah. He steals his ex girlfriend's or mistress's or whatever's car and drives it into the river.
Yeah,
And ends up in a Miami prison, I think, or not a Florida prison in this one. I don't think it's Texas. I can't remember.
I think
some southern state.
Yeah.
But then you've got Eddie Albert from Green Acres playing the warden in this one. And Bernadette Peters plays his secretary. And it's got a great cast. It's fun. I think one of my favorite lines, I think he broke his fucking neck. And like, everybody repeats that when one of the guy that plays Jaws is one of the football players. The guy that plays Jaws in the James Bond movies.
Oh, really?
He's one of the players who's also in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
as his boss who gets the nail in the head.
That's right. He doesn't he play the really really like maximum security prisoner? Doesn't he play the prisoner?
Or he's he's a prisoner, but he's not the maximum security prisoner.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
The maximum security prisoner is this bald guy that everybody's terrified of.
Yeah, he's like huge.
He's just this huge guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Who
Well, this guy's huge too. This other actor from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, they're a little different though.
Yeah, okay.
Oh no, I was talking about the guy from Happy Gilmore. I need to remember his name. I can't remember his name. But yeah, he clotheslines one of the guards and everyone's like, I think he broke his fucking neck. And then someone else says, I think he broke his fucking neck. And then the announcer says, I think he broke his fucking neck. And it's just funny.
And I think
Richard Kiel?
Yeah.
Sounds right. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, Tim. This movie, what I like about this movie is that it's rated R. I hate when they do remakes and then they like rank out with their PG-13.
The new one PG-13.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's enjoyable. The new one's enjoyable because it's got like Chris Rock and I think John Turturro's brother, younger brother, who plays like the closeted gay prison inmate. It was really funny. And Tracy Morgan plays.
I thought he was in this one.
Yeah,
he's one of the cheerleaders, isn't
he? Cheerleaders. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Who they're in the original, but not like you don't see them. You don't know anything about them until it's the game.
And yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, here's the random black cheerleaders.
Yeah,
who are prisoners in drag.
Yeah,
but they never mention them. They just show up.
Yeah,
and they look like the Supremes. Like they've got three of them dressed up like the Supremes, singing I think the national anthem.
Yeah,
it's just so much fun.
It is a fun movie, and again, I do like that it's rated R, and that's that's part of it. Cause sometimes, like prisoners in jail aren't gonna curse, really. Yeah, yeah, that's not believable.
They keep it
at
clean.
All. Yeah, they keep it clean for this game. but no, I enjoy it. I enjoyed the other one, the remake, but this is so much better because it's got Burt Reynolds without a mustache.
Without a mustache. Well, he's got the mustache in the beginning. He's got the mustache for the car chase.
Yeah.
When it's important.
Oh, good.
But once he's not in the car anymore and they put him in the prison.
Once it's game time,
see
the mustache is like wind resistant. So he's gotta shave it too. Get maximum amount of speed when he's dodging. anyway.
I think he just didn't want to give mustache rides in prison.
Yeah. That too. That could be it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that is your number 4.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, my number 4, I went the Adam Sandler route, guys, and did Waterboy. Again, I'm not a big football fan, but Waterboy is...
my honorable mentions.
Waterboy is definitely a nostalgic thing for me.
I know,
because when it came out, I was into that humor, you know? So,
I still enjoy it.
It's no Little Nicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, I don't know. I love... I just love Bobby Boucher. His whole voice and Kathy Bates is hilarious. Bates is
great. Was this her first like comedy, or has she done
Fried Green Tomatoes? Isn't that a comedy?
Oh. No.
Well,
kind of
comedic elements.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Misery is hilarious.
Yeah.
So right?
Her second comedy then. No, that's what I like about this movie is Kathy Bates like really kind of compliments. Bobby Boucher's character.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler's character, Bobby Boucher.
Yeah.
And Henry Winkler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I do love him.
When he's wearing the pumps he's and hilarious. He's talking to his mother, but the phone isn't plugged in.
Yeah. I love the scene where he's trying to build himself up and he starts picturing the other coach as a baby and just the faces that Henry Winkler is making. He's like, a little baby faces to the other coach. It's great.
Yeah.
And it's got the other coach is the guy from Smokey and the Bandit.
Yep.
I don't know his name. The other coach. Do you know who it is?
Jerry Reed?
Yes. Yes, Jerry Reed. This is a really... I think it's a fun movie. One of the last ones of Sandler that I really kind of enjoyed.
Yeah.
And who plays his girlfriend in this? Like
Fairuza Balk.
How do you say her name again?
Fairuza.
Fairuza Balk. She's from The Craft, right?
Oh, yeah. She's creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She's in Return to Oz.
Yeah. She's also in American History X.
Right. Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she's crazy. And Rob Schneider and all those regular Sandler crew.
This is where he started the you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody from the Sandler crew is in it. The guy with
and
the guy
when
with the
they're
cross-eyed.
Still funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
When they're still good.
And they're still young.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to see like Adam Sandler and he's like I don't know how old he is, but he's like trying to pick up on the 19-year-old girl in his movies. You're like it's kind of creepy now. Like I don't know.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah. Doesn't work.
It's like you should be married now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your characters are all married.
Yeah, but he's still chasing that 18, 19-year-old. So. But no, this is a fun movie, and it's got isn't T.O. in it? No, what am I thinking of?
No, it's L.T.
L.T. Same thing, two initials. T.O. What did I say, T.O.? Totally wrong football player. Totally wrong era. L.T. Who's also in another football movie. But yes. Anyway. So yeah. That was your number four?
Mm-hmm. That's my number four.
My number four was The Last Boy Scout. So it is to you, Kevin.
Okay. My number three comes from 1993, and it's The Program. Mm-hmm.
I almost put it on my list.
This is a movie that I kind of grew up with, and when I was younger, I didn't really understand elements. I just knew I was scared of the Andrew Bynarski character and made me never want to take steroids ever. But then when you watch it, as you get older, you kind of understand like the bureaucracy of it all, and just the fact that it's about the college program and getting money for the college and doing all that. And it's just got some really cool stuff in it. The basic plot is several players from different backgrounds try to cope with the pressures of playing football at a major university. One of the best performances in the movie is James Caan. I mean, as the coach who is kind of on that borderline where he could get fired because his team keeps losing and trying to have a winning season. And he knows certain things about players, and he really wants to keep his job and have that winning season. But if he keeps these players going, even though they're using steroids or abusing alcohol, I mean, he could lose the season. So just, I mean, throughout the movie, he's great. The guy who plays the quarterback, Craig Sheffer from The River Runs Through It, he does a great job as the quarterback who's dealing with the pressure, who is coming from a family of alcoholics who just... They're pretty much known as failures, he's great in it. And yes, the movie does have a lot of cheese. Most of the stuff with Halle Berry and Omar Epps is god awful.
Isn't this the one where they sit, they lay down in the middle of the road and let the cars drive over them?
Yeah, they cut that out. But yes, this is
because they made the big deal about it.
Because some kids did it and they got killed because
it was in the it was in the theatrical version. And to show his team how cool he was under pressure, the quarterback goes into the middle of traffic and lies in the line, and he just lets traffic go by him. And then a bunch of kids did it and died. And when it came out on VHS, they took it because it was VHS.
I think at a certain point, theaters actually cut it out.
Oh, really?
Because it became a huge thing.
Yeah, they made a big deal. I remember back on Entertainment Tonight, back when Mary Hart was still on it.
Wow.
Back in the day. I don't remember if Mary Hart was back still on it. But I remember them making a big deal about it.
When John Tesh was on Entertainment
Tonight? Yes, I'm pretty sure John Tesh was still there.
I remember seeing it. I think I saw the DVD. That I think is it either has it back in it or it's one of the special features.
And they say the only version you can get now with it is the Laserdisc. The Laserdisc, you can actually watch the scene.
And it's in the movie.
I believe so. Okay. Yeah. It adds like an extra like 4 minutes to the film.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. 4 minute scene.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good movie. James Caan is what saves it from being kind of cheesy.
Because there are those moments, but then you see like the scenes with James Caan and just the regular football scenes and just these kids going through the pressure are great to balance out the crap that Omar Epps and Halle Berry do throughout the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I was considering watching it to make this list, but I'm like, I still haven't seen it yet. And I just remember, like, I watched the trailer. And I'm just like, yeah, it looks really cheesy.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the scene where I think she's coming out of cheerleading practice or something and he's waiting there on his bike. Doing James Dean pose. I'm like, all right, pass.
I would definitely say if I were to have never seen it as a kid growing up, that to watch it now, I'd probably go, so it has that definite nostalgic effect. I remember watching it a lot when it was on cable and just whenever it was on, I'd be like, oh, I'll watch this again. I've seen it before. But if I were to have never seen it, watch it now, I'd probably go, yeah, most of this movie, there's a good amount of cheese throughout this movie.
Good to know.
Yeah.
One day. wait, so we're on number three?
Yep.
Yes.
All right, my number three is from the year 2000. Remember the Titans.
That's my awesome. Number two.
My number three.
Not on my list because I knew three of you would put her on there.
There's only so many football movies I've seen.
I know. Me too.
You know what? The thing about this movie is the crazy cast and the cast, what the cast went on to do.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Why don't you?
Or went on to not do.
Yes.
That's true.
Well, why don't you, since you had it and you named it first.
Okay. So it's the true story about these two high schools in the 60s in the South, and then they decide to make one school and join the high schools together. and they appoint the black football coach over a team of black and white students. And so there's this divide. It's like, are they going to play together? Are they not going to play together? Yeah. Can they overcome their differences and play the game?
And the white head coach becomes the assistant coach.
Yes. Yeah.
They make him, and it's like a political thing. And the two schools that were segregated become one, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Denzel Washington.
Yes.
As the head coach for the black school. And then I guess he really, they're not two schools. It's just a school that becomes like mixed, right?
They redistrict the schools because of it.
Denzel comes from a different school. I think
he comes from a different state.
County, too.
He just wants the job.
Yeah, and he's known for being like the good coach of, you know, of his county or whatever. And the coach for the school he comes into is, what's his name?
Will Patton.
Who is a great character actor.
Yeah,
you've seen a bunch of things.
He's awesome.
He Armageddon.
Really
The Postman.
The Postman. Gone in 60 Seconds. Yes, I said Gone in 60 Seconds.
He's good in that.
Yes, he is good in that.
He's good in everything. He's a great character actor. Once you see his face, you recognize him from all the movies you've seen him in.
Mm-hmm.
And a young Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Please. The coach's daughter.
So we just go down the list.
Yeah.
Go down the list.
Donald Faison.
Yes.
From Scrubs.
Scrubs, Turk.
You've got Ethan Suplee from My Name is Earl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kip Pardue.
Who went on to do nothing.
Pretty much.
Who, for a second there, it looked like he might do stuff because he had Driven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Driven. And he had that. They make a big deal about his little cameo role in The Rules of Attraction. So he's going to go places.
Yeah.
And then now he's the one like, who? Who's Kip Pardue?
Sunshine.
Hayden Panettiere. Kate Bosworth.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then Mr. Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
And one of the best roles.
Oh, my God. I completely forgot until I just saw that.
He plays a skinny, really skinny
country bumpkin.
Yep. Yeah. Country boy, yeah.
Yeah. At one point, they have to bunk up together because they go to training camp. They have to bunk up together. And he gets bunked up with, I think it's Faison, right? Mm-hmm.
But that scene that you're talking about is not with Faison.
Who is it with? It's the chunkier actor.
The character's name is Blue.
Yeah, and the coach Denzel makes him write. They have to turn in a report with everything they learned from the roommate. And each roommate consists of a white and then a black kid. So they have to write about each other and learn. And then so.
His Ryan dance Gosling. Moves in that scene are Ryan great. The way he's like bobbing his shoulders.
Ryan Gosling showing his roommate the music he likes, and it's Hank, isn't it Hank Williams? No, Hank. Hank Williams.
Hank Williams. Yeah, I think it's Hank Williams. Yeah.
Hank Williams, and he's dancing to Hank Williams, and he's like, I'm not even gonna ask, but I'm gonna ask. Isn't this great?
Yeah, it's so good.
And it's got Barksdale too.
Yeah.
The guy from
Wood Harris.
Yes. Yeah, he's great.
Awesome.
He's awesome.
Him and Ryan Hurst, who are like the leaders of the team. The teams.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Who was the football player? Right. That's who you were talking about.
Ryan Hurst.
Yeah. Ryan Hurst. Yeah. He's the other defensive guy.
Yes.
Yeah. He's on Sons of Anarchy.
Yes. He's awesome on Sons of Anarchy.
That's right. Okay.
He was also in The Postman with Will Patton.
That's right. For full circle.
They both The Postman are like the captains of the team, and they're great together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, until The Wire, I hadn't seen Wood Harris do much else. Like he was in that Hendrix mm-hmm. movie where they wouldn't license.
Yeah.
The family wouldn't let them license.
It was like
Hendrix's music.
A fake biopic.
Yeah.
No, both they have really everybody in this movie has great chemistry, and that's one of the Disney movies where like this started the trend of all the sports Disney movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then they did Miracle, and they did the basketball one with Josh Lucas.
Rookie.
But I think this is the one that started the trend, and this is the best one of all of them.
Well, seriously,
without a doubt,
they set the bar pretty high, though.
Yeah,
having Denzel and then this huge cast around him, and they're all so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really great story. It was one that we could watch at school all the time because they were like, I went to like a predominantly black school, so it was like really big to, you know, segregation or desegregate or whatever.
Are they in Virginia or somewhere?
Yeah, because they go to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
They run to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
So this was like a really big movie in high school that we watched like probably once a month. Every time. They were like,
wow.
I think I saw it several times in theaters. I just really love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I love the soundtrack to this movie as well.
Yeah,
I just love listening to
every
the
music. Every time I hear Spirit in the Sky, I think of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a good soundtrack as well.
Yeah, the soundtrack's great.
Yeah, and again, really good movie. I don't even know who directed this. Who does anybody know?
Boaz Yelkin, think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds foreign. Probably. But yeah, no, this is the movie that started the sports movie trend in what is that called? I don't know what it's called. I don't know what I'm thinking. But it started, and then came The Rookie, Miracle again with Kurt Russell. But this, like you said, set the bar standard really high. So high that yeah. that no movie that Disney's done has. Didn't they do The Secretariat or Secretarian? What?
Secretariat.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That was horrible. I'm
Did
sorry.
You see
I didn't yes. see it.
I started I watching it and I turned it off. But yes, this is the best of those movies.
So we're not going to do horse films at some point?
Well, maybe. Oh. Seabiscuit, number one.
Seabiscuit.
I ruined it, Ernie.
Boom, done.
I'm sorry, I take Spirit over Seabiscuit any day.
What?
I would actually go with Black Beauty.
Black Beauty.
Seabiscuit for me.
Black Stallion.
I'm going to go with that one with Taylor Swift song. What was that movie?
All right, I think we're
okay.
Straying away.
was it your number three?
Yeah, that was also my number three. Mm-hmm.
And so what number are we?
So
you're on your number three.
Okay. So is both of your number three?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my number two.
Kevin's number two.
Awesome. All right. So for my number three, I went with 1999's Any Given Sunday. Mm. Anybody nice. Put that on their list?
Honorable mention.
Okay. Yeah. Good. So finally.
I knew you were going to put it on your list. Yeah. So
I really enjoy this movie. There's a couple things I can pick at, but, it's an Oliver Stone movie. It's a football movie. It's got Al Pacino, which is he's kind of the strong.
Yeah,
lead
he's
in this.
Great. In
yeah,
it.
And his speech about how I think they have like 30 seconds left, or I don't know how many seconds they have, 20 seconds or something, and he gives a speech about how like about how much time they have and how there's a lifetime in those 20 seconds, and that's like really inspirational. And I've seen it a lot, like. There's a couple of people that are like I'm friends with on Facebook that are like at high school, like a couple of years ago, a year or two ago. Then I would see them post that speech. And I guess that's a speech that they kind of recite at football games now because it's such a great speech. And again, it's got a huge cast. It's got Dennis Quaid, Cameron Diaz, Jamie Foxx, James Woods, LL Cool J, Jim Brown, LT again. In this movie.
Yes.
Bill Bellamy, Lauren Hawley, Aaron Eckhart, Elizabeth Berkley. I could go on. John C. McGinley. The list keeps going and going. But it's like star packed and it's a really good. So things I got a nitpick about. Number one, the NFL wouldn't give them the right to use NFL teams.
So they went with the Sharks.
Yes. So they're called the Sharks. And. And then they're not even called the NFL. And then the thing that bugs me the most is that when you're watching the game day, like game day footage, and they got the score, mm-hmm. it looks so like hokey that it's not like just put the team that you're supposed to be. Like, the thing is, it's such a good movie, and I think what the NFL didn't like was that there's some drug use. But when isn't there drug use in the NFL? Come on,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, now the NFL isn't going to sponsor this podcast. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Way to go.
I'm sorry. Maybe the MLS will sponsor them. Major League Soccer will sponsor them. Football. but no, it's great. It's got Al Pacino. There's some scenes. My other problem with it. Oh, wow. We got like
someone else has a problem with
it. Someone else has a problem with it. is that I think Will Smith would have done a way better job in the Jamie Foxx characters, in that part. Jamie Foxx was just kind of starting out, and this was one of his bigger roles. After in Living Color, right? What was he on?
He was on In Living Color.
That's
yeah,
what
he was.
And this was kind of one of his first like serious roles. I'm glad they went with Jamie Foxx instead of Puff Daddy, who was Oliver Stone's first choice for this.
What?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And so, but I think Will Smith would have really killed this movie and would have been amazing in it. By far, a much better actor than Jamie Foxx. But I really enjoy it. Anything else you guys want to? Add to that.
I love the scene where they destroy the car with the chainsaw.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah. That actor's really good. I haven't seen him in anything else. He plays the like redneck, like metalhead football player.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. And there's also Full Frontal, male Full Frontal. That's another thing.
Which,
I remember that.
That's
maybe that's what turned the NFL off. They're like, could you do without the full male frontal?
And no, they're like, no.
And it's a scene with Cameron Diaz. She walks into the locker room because she's the
owner,
team owner.
I thought Well, I thought she was the owner's daughter who was taking over.
She is, yeah.
And
yeah.
isn't...
Well, he had passed away already.
Is Charlton
Heston? No,
Is he in this?
No.
I don't know.
No, he isn't. Because the owner had passed away. It had been like a year
or so. So she's kind of like changing things up.
Yeah, she's changing. She's becoming full owner, I think.
It's been such a long time since I've seen this movie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the part with the guy's eye.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Jamie Foxx throws up.
Yes.
As soon as he takes the field, and they have to move the huddle.
Yeah. This movie is all the game, like the actual footage of them playing football. Some movies, it's not as entertaining because it's very static and they don't know how to really cover the shots. But how Oliver Stone covers the football, the actual playing in the movie, it's really well. There's some stuff that's in first person. There's some stuff that's slow motion. He really kind of plays with the style of how he films it. And I think that really stood out for me.
Yeah.
I see other football movies. I remember
this one also felt like they were actually... It was actually the whole event of playing the game where you're in the stadium and you can see everything. One of my movies on my list later on, it doesn't feel like that. But it's still on the list.
Yeah, that's the thing. That it felt like a football game. It felt like they were filming and there was all the fans were there. Like it felt like it was like a real game. And some of the... When they're tackling people... I'm hearing weird noises. Is it my cable? Oh, I think it's a table. Sorry. Sorry if you hear a weird noise. It's the squeaking of the table. It just feels like a real game, and that's what I enjoy about this. And other football movies kind of doesn't have that feel to it. I feel like there's energy in the game itself.
Yeah.
But that is my number three. Any Given Sunday.
Nice.
Kevin.
Well, my number two was Remember the Titans.
Oh, okay. So that was stolen from you.
Yes.
Did I steal two of your movies now?
Maybe.
No, so one of yours and one of his. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's my number two, maybe stealing someone else's, 1932's Horse Feathers.
I thought about putting it on instead of The Freshman.
But honorable mention, yeah.
I love Horse Feathers.
It's great.
It's, it's the Marx Brothers. You can't go wrong with the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
another movie I use for profiling. Like, if you don't like the Marx Brothers, maybe I question your patriotism.
Your patriotism?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Right,
no. It's un-American.
Very un-American.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I could see that.
Yeah.
I don't know about un-American, but I definitely have a lower opinion of people who don't like the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
I can't.
They're
lie.
Fantastic.
I'm just going to read the description. Quincy Adams Wagstaff, the new president at Huxley U, hires Bumblers, Baravelli, and Pinky to help the school win the big football game against the rival Darwin U. But, it's the Marx Brothers, so it's not really about the plot. It's about just all the jokes and the gags and everything, all the one-liners that they say throughout the movie. It's just so much fun, and it's got one of my favorite little Marx Brothers musical numbers, I'm Against It, at the very beginning, where he's just, whatever it is, I'm against it. It's so much fun.
Like, it is.
He has to go find these two, ringer football players at this bar, and he picks up Harpo and Chico and thinks that they're the players, and they just run amok at the school. And, Harpo's running down to get hot dogs in the middle of a play, and Chico's trying to sell everybody on everything. And, there you go. Harpo is here. Yeah. Harpo just walked in the door, everyone. He's back from the dead.
I need a little horn.
I love the Marx Brothers. Again, I'm not the biggest football aficionado, so for me, I just went with the movies that I enjoy. And I love the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I love Groucho's just one-liners. They're so original and just well-written, and they only could be said by Groucho Marx, and he delivers every line so well that you just start cracking up.
He's got that moment where he comes up to the camera and tells the audience that they should go take a break in the auditorium while everything works out. Like, I don't know about you, but I gotta stay here for this.
Nice.
No, it's definitely, it's one of their funnier movies.
I haven't seen enough Marx Brothers, but they're not very long, so I feel like I should just take a day and just watch a shit ton of Marx Brothers movies.
I think a lot of them are actually even on Google Video or online.
Oh, really?
They're free to watch. So.
Oh, nice.
Duck Soup is on Netflix. Yeah. It's just streaming right now, so you can watch Duck Soup.
I think I've seen that one, but it's been a really long time, so I need to watch them all.
Did I go with you to see Anthony Beverly?
Yeah, where we saw Monkey Business, Horse Feathers, and Duck Soup.
Yeah, we went to go see a triple feature, and there was an intermission between all of them. And I think Duck Soup was the first one.
It was Monkey Business. Yeah.
And we're sitting kind of in the back, and we hear a really loud laugh. And I'm like, that laugh sounds familiar. Like I've heard it before. Just loud, out of the ordinary, like loud. And during intermission, we walk out and we're hanging out outside. I was still smoking back then, so I go outside for a cigarette, and out walks Quentin Tarantino, and I'm like, that's why. That's a laugh. And then a giant walks behind him, and it's Robert Rodriguez was there too. So that was a nice little treat.
It was.
That's funny.
And so I see them playing them at the New Beverly actually ever so often. They kind of they're on the rotation.
Oh, I should do
things.
That. Yeah. And I like the New Beverly a lot.
Yeah, they're really cool. That's the new, for the listeners out of that are not in California. The New Beverly is a Hollywood, I guess it's in Hollywood, Beverly Hills theater. Tarantino owns it now. He just bought it. And they basically play 35mm prints of old movies. They, you know, they have a different program every month. Every actually 3 days, it's a different movie. And they're always double features. And they're always $7. They're still $7. It's been like that for a long time, from what I remember.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, and it's really cheap and it's really cool. And you get to see them on film as opposed to, you know, DVD or, you know, your digital projection when you go to the AMC. So it's really fun.
Very cool.
So if you're in LA, check out the New Beverly.
Yep.
Do it.
Do it.
Okay.
All right.
So, all right. My number two is another movie from 2000, The Replacements.
Ooh. Honorable mention.
I figured nobody was going to put it on because everyone thought someone else was going to put it
on. I thought you were going to put it on.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So I had to be that person. Put it on.
You didn't enjoy it.
You didn't like The Replacements?
I liked The Replacements, but I mean... I guess it comes down to the not seeing that many football movies.
Yeah.
Even of the small football movies, number of football movies that I've seen, it's not my favorite. I enjoy it, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some moments, though. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's John
Favreau.
I love...
Read the synopsis.
Oh, okay.
John Favreau.
it's really short. During a pro football strike, the owners hire substitute players. It's just a bunch of old football players or really bad or rookie football players that haven't been in a pro team that are taking over this pro team pretty much is what it goes, how it goes. And Gene Hackman's the coach and Keanu Reeves is one of the main guys. And I love, what's his name? The guy that's in, Reese
Funds.
Yes, I love him. He's wiry. So funny.
he's a wiry
he's the kicker.
Yeah. Yeah,
who's smoking on the field?
Yeah, he.
he's so funny.
They recruit him from. He's a soccer player.
Yeah, that's right. Because he's supposed to be the kicker.
Yeah, and he's a really good kicker, so they recruit him to be the kicker.
What
for
does
the
he always
team.
Say? Oh,
yeah.
I wonder if something like that.
No, it's ole, 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 ole.
He's always chanting that. And yeah, he's so really funny. When he goes out to kick the football, the announcer's all, is the kicker smoke? Is it John Madden?
John Madden's like, I think he's smoking on the field.
I think the kicker's smoking on the field. And right before he kicks the football, he puts the cigarette out on the floor. And I really like Faison Love is in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's really funny.
Orlando Jones, was still a thing.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Orlando Jones?
I don't know.
I saw him one time. That was my first celebrity sighting in LA, by the way, Orlando Jones. The breakfast place. Le Pan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
Panera?
No. I believe there's a place called Le Pan.
Okay.
Roughly is what it kind of translates.
French something or other.
Oh, it's like a pastry place. Isn't
yeah,
it?
I think so. I don't know, but I saw him there.
But no, he's funny. Don't they like lube up his hands? Oh no, no, they
put
glue.
Like yeah.
So that the balls.
Yeah,
stick.
He's like, it's gonna look like I was just jerking myself off.
No, he says it's gonna look like you just jerked off an elephant.
Yeah.
I feel like that was in a football movie with kids also.
Little Giants, the kid puts like tar on his hands and they get stuck to his shirt and he gets hit. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Gene Hackman's good in this. I mean, he's good in everything, but
it's
fun seeing him. And he's kind of like the straight man in the comedy. And Keanu Reeves is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not a big Keanu Reeves fan, but this movie I like of him. So that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So did he do something to you? Why don't you like him?
He touched me inappropriately one time. Wow. No,
damn,
that's how rumors start.
Yeah, don't say that. He didn't really.
He just gave up his seat for that lady in New York. Did you see the YouTube video?
Oh, that's classy, man. I saw the video. And
I didn't see it. What happened?
Oh, man, that's classy.
It's a crowded New York subway, and he's sitting, and a woman comes in.
And he can't tell he's been filmed. Like, this clearly, the video is like... it's like this guy's just like on his phone recording him. And go ahead. Sorry. I just want to say that he clearly, it's not like someone was filming. Yeah.
He doesn't know that he's being filmed.
He didn't ham it up for the camera.
A woman comes in and there's no seats left and he gets up and gives her his seat.
How old is she? Like,
she's
an
a younger
older
girl.
Woman, or,
like,
oh, that's even
not,
nicer.
Not young, young, but she's like in her 20s, 30s.
She doesn't look like Granny from the Looney Tunes cartoon.
That's nice.
It's a younger, like late 20s girl. And he like goes, hey, you want my seat? And she's like, yeah, okay. And then he gets up and, you know, he stands. I think that's a classy move.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure.
So
He's not a horrible person. I just don't like him in everything that he does, let's just say.
Well, maybe he doesn't like you in everything you do.
Well, I hope not.
All right. We're so that was fight. Your number. That was your number two?
Yeah.
All right. So my number two is from, let's see, 1983. And it's from one Thomas Cruise.
All the Right Moves.
All the Right Moves.
Thomas Cruise Mapother.
Yeah. All the Right Moves. It's got Tom Cruise, Leia Thompson, Craig T. Nelson being the coach. He plays the coach. And basically it's this kid. I think this is Tom Cruise's like second. This might be his first starring role.
Yeah.
This is after Taps.
Yeah.
Little quick story about Taps, TPS is you call it in the biz. it's with Timothy Hutton and Sean Penn.
George C. Scott.
Yeah, Taps is. And it's about military school. Quick story. And it's in the DVD commentary. Tom Cruise comes in to do a two-line part. It's two lines. His character had two lines. He comes in. He does the audition so well that the director says, we got to put this kid in the movie. So his part got put from two lines to he's in the whole movie.
Yeah.
And he's got a big part at the end.
Yeah, he does.
There's a famous line he says. What's the famous line he says? He's like,
it's not that famous. When he's shooting up the place,
place. But yeah, it's kind of iconic. But and then off of that, he got this part because he was so good in that. All the Right Moves, it's about this kid. He's in a small town in Pennsylvania. It's kind of like a steel mill town that's kind of like dying, you know, the mill's kind of like going out of business, and basically like his only way out of this town to get out of this thing and not end up, you know, either working at the steel mill and then eventually being unemployed, his only way out is through a college scholarship, and he kind of struggles with that and getting it, and I won't spoil it, but yes. It's got Tom Cruise. It's got football. It's high school football, and it's really cool. It's really like a small little movie before Tom Cruise was ever famous, and it's really fun. They say this is a rumor. There's a rumor. I read this and during my research that if you freeze frame the DVD, you could see Tom Cruise's penis when he's doing push-ups. I haven't checked it. I don't own the movie.
I guess that's going to be some research for later.
Yeah.
Is the quote you were thinking of, "It's beautiful, man"?
Yeah, that's it. Yes. It's beautiful, man.
I do remember that part.
Yeah, yeah. We don't remember the line, but remember that part where he's like shooting, and I think it's John Penn that comes in and sees him. But yeah, so that line again, not from All the Right Moves, from Taps, TPS. So All the Right Moves, 1983, Tom Cruise, football player, Craig T. Nelson.
It's weird to me. This movie is like the dude version of Flashdance.
Instead
of dancing and working in a steel mill, it's football player and working in a steel mill.
Yeah. There's a lot of like factory mill like scenes. Like there's also Footloose.
Urban Cowboy.
Yeah. The 80s was filled with
everything happened in a steel mill. Robocop.
Yeah. Even, yes, Robocop. And then maybe it was the 70s.
Cyborg.
The Terrence Malick movie with Richard Gere.
Days of Heaven?
Days of Heaven in the 80s?
It's a steel mill.
It's not a steel mill, no, because they're harvesting crops.
Yeah, they're on a farm.
No. When he...
Spoiler alert, at the beginning of the movie, yes.
It is a steel mill, right?
It is a steel mill, yeah.
I was right.
The reason they have to leave, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's 80s, that movie? Well, we're going way off topic talking about Terrence Malick.
Whatever.
But anyway, All the Right Moves, my number two.
Okay.
Nice.
So I guess I'll do a recap before I do my number one. My number five was The Freshman. Four was Little Giants. Three, The Program. Two, Remember the Titans. And my number one is from 1993. And once we decided to do this topic, I knew what my number one was. And it's Rudy. I love this movie. Anytime I watch it, it will still make me cry.
You're getting teary-eyed right now.
I'm just thinking about it. I'm getting a little choked up.
You're like John Favreau.
I'm thinking of John Favreau yelling out, "Who's the wild man now?" in the crowd scene after he just has like this cool play and he gets to play in the big game. Anyways, the plot is Rudy has always been told that he was too small to play college football, but he's determined to overcome the odds and fulfill his dreams of playing for Notre Dame. It stars Sean Astin, John Favreau, Ned Beatty, Charles Dutton, Lily Taylor's in it.
Vince Vaughn has a
small part in it, but it's great. And Sean Astin is just terrific in this part of just playing the character of Rudy and how he's just trying. And even when things are going down and he gets his kind of hopes up, he keeps at it. And he's got so much heart through this movie that he gets the crap kicked out of him because he's like a quarter of the size of most of these giant college football players who just hammer him every day of practice, but he just keeps at it because he's living his dream. The music is great. The final scene is just terrific. And every single time I watch it, when they start chanting Rudy, I start to get teary eyed. I love this movie when I thought, and I mean, come on, you can't beat it. It's the writer and director of Hoosiers, and Hoosiers is also great. It's just a terrific movie.
I've never seen Rudy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
I'm not really ashamed to say, I don't know. When I was a kid, I was just like, because I was like 10 when this came out. I was like, I don't care.
Yeah. You know what? Rudy's one of those movies where I saw it once and I enjoyed it, but I don't ever have to see it again.
I get shit all the time because I'm like, I don't care about seeing Rudy. And like just now to make this list, I had the opportunity to watch it. And I was like, I'm good. I don't need to watch it.
Honestly, I think I'm more of a fan of baseball movies than I am football movies.
By far.
Right?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I mean, I think I enjoy watching football more than I do. I mean, on TV, like watching football more than I do baseball games. They're just more entertaining on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I like going to baseball games more than I like football games.
Like
that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I don't hear about too many stabbings at baseball games.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Well, unless you're a San Francisco fan.
Yeah, unless you're from San Francisco and you're going to a Dodgers game.
Yeah.
Oh, that was at a baseball game?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
San Diego, so I hear about like the Raiders fans.
Yeah. They're just bad.
They're a different breed.
They're not as bad as the Dodgers fans. Plus now Dodgers Stadium is like steps up to security. Like you can't take nail clippers in now. It's like an airport now.
Really?
Yeah, it feels like. But it's all because, you know, there's the lawsuit and stuff. Of course. But anyway, that was your number one.
Yep.
Nice.
All right.
Give us your recap.
My number 5 was The Last Boy Scout. Number 4 was The Longest Yard. Number 3 was Remember the Titans. Number 2 was Horse Feathers. And my number 1 is North Dallas 40 from 1979. It's Nick Nolte playing football.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s when football players weren't all super fit dudes. They were guys who liked to drink hard and smoke cigarettes in the practice room while they're soaking down their arms. Yeah. And it's great. I love this movie so much. I just watched it actually before I came over here. He is a wide receiver who's a veteran wide receiver who's being threatened to be put on the bench. And so it's just him trying to get through his last season. And it's just kind of this inside look at the politics of being a professional football player in the 70s. And again, it's not a real football team. It's the North Dallas Hawks or something like that. North Dallas something. But it's based on the Dallas Cowboys. There's a novel that this film is based on. And it's just great and it's so much fun. I just love Nick Nolte. That's really...
He's great.
Nick Nolte. He's awesome. That's my reason for this movie being on the list. Nick Nolte playing football. And he has the mustache, though. So I don't know what that says about your Burt Reynolds theory about the mustache and wind resistance, but whatever.
Ah. Hey,
a different era. This is 70s, right?
Different They're person altogether, though. I mean, Nick Nolte doesn't need the wind resistance.
No, he doesn't.
So you've got Nick Nolte playing the main character, the wide receiver. Charles Durning as a football coach, which who could better play a football coach than Charles Durning? He's not the head coach, but he's one of the coaches. But I love Bo Svenson as this guy, Joe Bob. He's just this big brick shit house that you don't fuck with. Do you know Bo? He's the preacher in Kill Bill Volume 2.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's just this brute who has these truly awful things that he does at some points in time, but in others, like, oh well, he's just like the simple guy who's just been built up to destroy. That's what he does, and it's weird how you get glimpses of what it's like to be a football player.
Yeah. Bo Stevens is in the original Glorious Bastards, right?
Bo Svensson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill?
Bo Svensson.
I thought it was Stevenson. I always said Stevenson. I'm way off.
You're Svensson. Only a couple letters. Like three letters.
Yeah. Close enough.
But it's great. It's like, to me, North Dallas 40 is like the Rocky of football movies.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I haven't seen this, so.
I haven't seen it.
It'll be on my list.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like football, it's just an interesting movie.
Well, Nick Nolte's in it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. The opening of this movie is him like waking up and like he's sore from being beat from the game before, the night before. And like each time he winces, it like does a little flashback of what that instant was. And just this slow progression of seeing all the beatings that he's taken and like what his body has gone through. And then he's like finally rests into the bathtub that he just poured himself a bath. And then his crazy buddies burst through the door with shotguns shooting into the ceiling saying it's time to go hunting. And that's the perfect sum up of this movie. It's introspective and fun at the same time. And it's not quite as cheesy as I think the program looks like it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the 70s, so it's a different kind of cheese.
Yeah.
So that is your number one.
That is my number one.
Excellent.
All right. Okay, so my recap. My number five was Little Giants, 4, The Waterboy. 3, Remember the Titans. 2, The Replacements. And my number one is my rom-com girl coming out of me, Jerry Maguire, guys.
That's my number one, so.
Nice.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
I really didn't think you'd put that on there. I thought you just assumed that I would.
I did, but I'm like, you know what? I really enjoy it, so.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I love this movie.
This was one
of my first R movies that I think I ever saw, I think.
It's surprising. I didn't know why it was rated R. Then I rewatched it again, and there's Kelly a sex Preston. Scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of the word fuck.
Yeah. But I mean, really, besides that, there's not. It could have gone with a PG rating, but I'm glad it went with R. I'm glad it went with R.
That's sexy.
Yeah.
They earned their R.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. why don't you read the synopsis?
All right. When a sports agent has a moral epiphany and is fired for expressing it, he decides to put his new philosophy to the test as an independent with the only athlete who stays with him.
Yeah.
So Tom Cruise is a sports agent. Athlete is Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yep.
And remember that guy.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been around for a while.
He won an Oscar for that.
Yeah, and he's great. And then he said, nah, I'm done.
Now I'm going to do Chill Factor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chill Factor and Snow Dogs.
Aww.
And Boat Trip.
Rat Race.
Boat Trip.
Yeah. Oh, Boat Trip. Oh, my
Rat
God.
Rat Race was fun. I really enjoyed
it. I saw it like a dozen times in theaters. I haven't watched it in a while.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's funny.
What else? Radio. His other football movie.
I'm glad nobody put
that's
that.
In the opposite spectrum of this list. No, Jerry Maguire is so good. Actually, a teaser. Coming up in the next couple episodes, we're going to have a bunch of guests. Some bloggers, some actors, some writers, and one of our guests will be someone who stars in this movie. So stay tuned for the upcoming episodes.
Tom Cruise, guys.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
It's not Tom Cruise. It's not Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
We'll leave it for that's the teaser. But this movie is
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. You guessed it. He's talking about radio.
He's not doing anything right now, so he's going to come on the show.
He might come on.
Bonnie Hunt.
Bonnie Hunt. She's actually really good.
I know. She's hilarious.
This movie is... I really enjoy it. I know... I guess it's considered a chick flick, but I don't consider it that. I consider it
a Cameron Crowe movie.
Yeah. Yes. That's what it is.
Cameron Crowe. I consider it a chick flick because the whole thing at the end is all... You had me at hello. Yeah. That's chick flick. Come on.
Yeah.
just that one line.
I guess it's Cameron Crowe does a chick flick We Bought a Zoo as Cameron Crowe does family movie.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yes. It's got such a great cast. It's Tom Cruise, Cuba Gooding Jr., Renee Zellweger, Bonnie Hunt, Jay Moore.
Jerry O'Connell.
Jerry O'Connell, yeah, that's right. I listened to Jay Moore's podcast.
More Stories. Which is great.
Yes, and he had a whole episode where he talked about Jerry Maguire. He had really good stories about Tom Cruise and all the cast, and it was really informative, and it kind of gave you insight into not only Jay Moore's style of acting and how he goes about, you know, approaching a role, but also Tom Cruise and the advice Tom Cruise gave him, and it's a really fun podcast. You should listen to that. It's an hour, and the whole hour is about Jerry Maguire and Tom Cruise.
And you should just listen to his podcast in general.
It's really funny, informative, and fun.
Insightful.
Yeah, and it is really insightful.
He does one of the best Tracy Morgan impersonations I've ever heard.
He does. He drops the N-word like crazy, but for some reason, it sounds good coming out of his mouth. I don't know why.
Yeah, he's awesome.
It's not as offensive. But check out his podcast if you guys would like more insight into Jerry Maguire. But there's those scenes where
Regina King is hilarious.
Forgot about her. Yes,
she's really good.
She plays Cuba Gooding's
wife,
and then
Mama.
Yes, and
Harry Spears.
Yes,
as Cuba Gooding Jr.'s brother.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Deadbeat brother.
Yeah,
I just it's funny. This was on TV a couple of weeks ago. And I noticed this. Check it out if you get a chance. There's the scene, the main game where Cuba Gooding's playing, and it's gonna determine, you know, whether he gets a contract renewal or not. They keep going to Regina King and all of Cuba Gooding's family. They keep covering that going to her coverage of the house, of them watching the game, and it's a black family. It's huge family. Ari Spears is his brother. It's got Regina King, their kids, their aunts, uncles, and everybody in the house, black, except for this one little white kid. And I don't know what the F he was doing in the house. I wonder if he was somebody's kid and they're like, just put him in there. But nobody, there's not a parent, there's nothing, just one little white kid. I don't know if he was their neighbor or what's going on. But it's just this awkwardly placed.
I don't remember that. I didn't notice it until
I was watching TV and I'm like, what is that little white kid doing in this movie? In this scene, where are his parents? I understand if they're his neighbors or something, but it's just really misplaced little white kid. out of nowhere.
I totally forgot that Donald Logue is in this. He's one of the other agents.
That's right.
Donald Logue and Eric Stoltz.
Yes, yes.
At that bachelor party that they have where they make that video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of a nice little...
Oh, and the wonderful Johnny Lipnicki.
Yes.
Yep.
As well.
Yes. We won't say anything more.
The rest is silence.
The rest is silence. Yes.
Yeah, it's a great movie, though. I love it.
Yeah. So it's a fun movie. We won't talk about John Lipnicki because maybe he'll be one of our guests. We don't know. Maybe him or Cuba. We'll see. Maybe they'll give us more insight into that movie.
I was thinking Beau Bridges.
Well, you never know. You never know. Beau Bridges played...
He's Jerry O'Connell's dad.
Cush's
dad.
Yeah.
Now I've got the Kushlash song stuck in my head when he's playing the guitar.
Yeah. But again, great movie, great cast. I definitely it's one of the movies where I definitely love the chick flicky parts where he comes in and
they're just enough. They're not overdone.
And they're really well done.
Yeah.
They're really well done and the acting kind of compliments that. It's really well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is my number one. So
my number one also. Chase. Yeah.
Is that it?
Did anyone have any honorable mentions?
Yeah, you're the last one. I have a couple honorable mentions.
Okay. Throw them out there.
They're the same movie, basically. Varsity Blues and Friday Night Lights.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I put Friday Night Lights on here mainly because the music by Explosions in the Sky is awesome.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And then another James Caan movie, Brian's Song.
Mm. Yes. We just saw that a couple years ago with James Caan, Q&A. Yeah. It was really informative. He really didn't talk about Brian's Song as much as other movies.
like you do.
Yes.
You can do that when you're James Caan.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any honorable mentions, Adam?
I didn't. I mean, everything's been said that might have been on the list. Again, I haven't seen that many football movies, and then there's also my aversion to seeing Rudy, which I'm sorry. People are just going to have to deal with that. I don't want to see Rudy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. You?
Friday Night Lights, Varsity Blues. And I'm going to say it. I didn't mind The Blind Side. So there's that. I didn't mind it.
It wasn't terrible, but I don't think it was Oscar winning.
Another one of those. I just haven't seen a lot of football movies. Yeah. So that's going to be in there. Pretty much is how it goes.
Yeah. The only one I think you guys haven't mentioned is that I enjoyed.
Wildcats.
Yeah.
Wildcats. Yes. Well, two. Wildcats. And Lucas.
Lucas.
With Corey Haim, Charlie Sheen, Courtney Thorne Smith.
Winona Ryder's in
there. Winona Ryder's in this, that's right. What else is this?
Who's the douchey jock? It's the guy.
Charlie Sheen's one of them. Jeremy Piven's in it.
it's not Charlie Sheen, because Charlie Sheen's the one that kind of sort of becomes friends with Lucas, but there's like the guy with the lighter hair in Lucas.
Tom Hodges?
I can't remember.
But anyway, Lucas, it's Corey Haim. It's like early Corey Haim. He's like 12. I think he's like 12, 13.
Is this before he met the other Corey?
Yes. This is before the Corey united to become one giant Corey. A socially inept 14-year-old experiences heartbreak for the first time when his two best friends, Cappy, an older brother figure, and Maggie, the new girl with whom he is in love with, fall for each other. So it's got heartbreak, it's got football, it's got bullies, and it's fun. It's got Corey Haim. So
yeah,
good Corey Haim before he was into drugs.
Yeah, this is the guy. Tom Hodges, you were right, because he's the jackass German counselor in Heavyweights.
Yes, 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 yes. That's it. So check that out. That's my honorable mention. Any other? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is it for the list. That's our top five favorite football movies. You probably are listening to this after the Super Bowl. And yeah.
Go Giants.
Yeah.
Yes. Go Patriots.
Go Giants.
Really?
I'm just saying.
You don't care.
No.
You're just going against it.
Go like that. Commercials.
Yeah. Go food. Mm. That's it. Check us out at our website. On our website? At our website.
Both. Either one.
On or at. We're at www.thelistfilmpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter, at The Film Podcast. We're going to be having some, once we have guests, we're going to have some trivia questions. And sign us, you know, follow us on Twitter, because that's how you will be able to participate in the trivia questions, where you could win maybe signed posters by some of our guests, maybe signed DVDs. We don't know. We'll find out.
A hangout session with one of us?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. If you're a girl, Kevin's like, if you're a hot girl, a hangout session, maybe a date using Movie Pass.
Maybe we could meet at the Arclight.
Yeah. I'll use my Movie Pass. You can pay your ticket. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe win a date with Kevin. Maybe that'll be one of the prizes. But sign up at Twitter, follow us, and that's how you'll be able to participate in the trivia questions when they come up. And then what else? You could follow me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Jenei, that's JEHNEIGH.
I'm at N Adam Scott, AN_AdamScott.
And I'm at K Zuberbier, that's ZUBERBIER.
There you go. And all these links are on our website. Again, www.thelistfilmpodcast. There you'll find links to our Twitter, Facebook, and Adam Scott's blog, Shooting the Script. Check us out there. And tell a friend. Tell a friend. You know, tell a friend about this podcast. Maybe they'll like it. I don't know. And we also have a different podcast with some Jenei and I do another podcast called The List Music Podcast. Check us out there if you're into music. If you're not, then don't bother listening, because you will hate it. I mean, I'm saying, if you're not into music, then, you know, you're clearly not going to like this podcast. It's an hour and a half of music. So anyway, till next week, have a good week.